We're talking today, we continue our series, we're in the third week of Begin Again. We start today, we're talking about truth. It's going to be a little bit painful today. Are you okay with that? Okay, no. There wasn't even like one person in this whole section that looked at me like, that's not what we came here for. Sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? We're going to talk about the truth today. There's a family, the Smiths. They were very proud of their ancestry. They came here on the Mayflower. They had senators in their family. They had wizards of Wall Street. They decided that they would hire a famous author, and they would, you know, kind of tell the story of their family, something to hand to their grandchildren and their, you know, great-grandchildren. And there's only one problem. Great Uncle George had died in the electric chair. The author reassured them that he would handle it with the utmost tact and diplomacy. The book came out, and it was written, "Great Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution, was attached to his position by strong ties, and his death came as a great shock." True, kind of. How important is the truth? When we talk about beginning again, when we talk about growing in our walk with Jesus, how important is it that we deal in and live in the truth? That's what we're talking about. Now, I need to do a quick summary and bring us up to speed on this third week. And I'm going to apologize in advance to our deaf community and this wonderful woman who is signing right now. And I'm going to go fast. Could we appreciate her as well and their community? We love you. We love you. We're so thankful for you. And I apologize in advance for the hand cramps. Here we go. Growth is a fundamental value. It's a core value of our church. And so we begin here. Here's what we believe. One of our six core values, one of them is growth. We believe it's the norm for every believer to be intentionally engaged in the supernatural process of becoming more like the people God created us to be. Healthy things grow. This happens primarily through the study of God's Word, cooperation with the Holy Spirit, and relational connection with other believers. Here's the tagline: God loves you just as you are, but too much to leave you that way. Be a good time to nudge the person next to you if you are looking for an opportunity. He loves us the way that we are, but he loves us far too much. Eternity begins as soon as we accept Jesus into our life. It doesn't begin when we take our last breath here and begin there. It begins right now, and he wants us to be actively engaged and growing. Nothing more frustrating than seeing a person who has lived for Jesus for 20 years, and they're no different than they were when they started. We are built to grow, and when we're healthy, we grow. So we're talking about not just making New Year's resolutions by our own willpower. But God, we're not going to worship our own will. We're going to engage with the Father. We're going to grow in our relationship with him, and he's going to bring about the changes that are going to be permanent, long-term changes from the inside out. Better than a resolution, growing in him. So we started off, and we set the groundwork, and we said, God created it all, and he made it all, and then we came along and broke it all. And then from that point on, we began a redemption process. And right now, he's redeeming all things to himself. So the fact that when the relationship with him was broken, he was no longer our source. We started looking for everything else. He's redeeming himself as our only source. He's redeeming the relationships that we have with one another. He's redeeming the proper order of things. The proper order of things is simply that he is God, he's the judge, and you are not. He's the boss. You are not. We love to follow him, to be led by his Spirit. We're submitted to him. And then not only are the roles now getting right in our life, not only is the order getting right in our life, but also the roles. We're accepting the way that God made us. and the role that we have. He has a role to play, and so do we. And all these things are being restored. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So anything that you present to God, and it's scary to present stuff to him. You do know that whatever you present to him, he's going to mess with that, right? And you do also know that you can't hide anything from him either. But he really wants us to, in that relationship, present to him things. Whatever we present to him, he'll reconcile it. You bring him your brokenness, he'll restore it. You bring him his ashes, he'll bring you beauty. Everything you present to him, he'll reconcile. What's he reconciling? He's reconciling it to himself. He's bringing it back to his original intention. And then we said, this is done by grace. So when the Father asks us to follow him and do certain things, as he will challenge you to do in this growth process, he's never asking you to go it alone. Now, we assume that. He's saying, you go do this. When I was growing up, we didn't have remote controls. I was the remote control. Were you the remote control when you were growing up? And I guarantee you, if we didn't have remotes right now, my kids would be remote controls. I said, change that channel, you know, and we had the clicker across the top, or we had just three or four channels. I'm giving away my age now. And sometimes I wasn't just the remote control, but I'd be the antenna too. You'd hang on to that thing. Is that coming in for you all right? I mean, that's what I was born for. I'm just here as the antenna for, you know, these three channels. Where were we? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says this. For God is at work within you. You can stop right there and just get excited. God is working in you, and he's going to be faithful to complete what he started in you. Helping you, what's he helping you do? He's helping you want to obey him, and then helping you do what he wants. The scripture makes me think, what in the world am I doing? He's doing more than you'll ever do. Listen, embrace this in your walk with Jesus. He is doing and has done more than you will ever do. He is keeping you right now. He is redeeming you right now. He is restoring you right now. He has seated you in heavenly places. He died for you. He's doing it all. What are we doing? We're down here making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We think we're doing a lot. He's doing more for you than you're doing for him. And he's keeping you more than you're keeping him. He's doing more. And that's what the grace of God is. He's asking you to do this thing, but you don't go alone. As a matter of fact, his grace enables you and empowers you to do it. And when you get done, you don't have to look at yourself and say, well, I'm pretty special. I mean, I'm pretty great. No, you know who did it. It's his grace. It's his grace and his power that enables you to do it. Now we go to truth. Truth. Talked about grace and the role that grace plays. Let's talk about the truth. Can you handle the truth? John chapter 1, 17 says this. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Some people get it wrong when they see only grace, so-called. They don't really have a relationship with the living God. They get off track. How do they get off track? Because they're not held accountable. God has set it up checks and balances for us that we would know him through his word. We would know him through his church. We would know him through a biblical word, the brethren. Other believers. We're meant to have these checks and balances so that we stay on track. And you and I have met people and known people who will rip one scripture out of context, have no relationship with other believers, and go on a crusade of some kind that has nothing to do with the God of this book. When you came in today, we gave away the Project 345 bracelets. You say, Rob, do I have to wear that thing? Oh, yeah, you do. It's required. kidding. I'm kidding. But It takes an average of 3 minutes and 45 seconds to read a chapter in the Bible. I'm encouraging everybody every single day, every single morning, get the compass of his word and your heart lined up in the right direction, hear something from him, and then go about your day with him. Great way to start the day. And you can do that. You say, well, Rob, I like to read for 30 minutes or more. Well, knock yourself out. When you wake up, get humble. Okay. Just, you know, take a step. So many times as we try to grow in God, we try to do the impossible. I'm going to run a marathon tomorrow. No, you're not. You're going to die. We're going to come pick you up along the road. God knows where you're at. He knows your endurance. He knows where, and he'll speak to you. But every day, and how do we know that this grace is wrong? When people start talking about there is no devil, there is no sin, there is no hell, there is no, well, they're not going according to God's word. They're not going according to his word. And we want to be in his word. So there's this, I can't even really say it's grace, but it has no truth. It's not just that we would say sin and Satan, the devil and hell don't exist. But if that would be true, then Jesus came for nothing, died for nothing, and God is sadistic for sending his son to suffer. But we know he did send his son. Early on in Genesis, it was prophesied that his son would come and his heel would bruise Satan's head. Satan is vanquished and Jesus is king. Well, we know as long as there's a Savior, there is Satan. So we know these truths by his word, by his word. It's not just this grace. Me and God have a special deal. It's just me and him and our special deal. No, you don't. Neither do I. I don't have a special deal. I go by his plan. It's his plan. It's his story. I get to be a part of what he's doing. I get to submit to him and what he wants. He is the king. He gets it his way. I don't get it my way anymore. He gets it his way. And here's what I found out. And you know this is true. His way is the best way. Oh, he doesn't have to. I guess he doesn't have to be completely loving and gracious and kind and slow to anger. But he is. It's not just that he's our leader. He's the best leader we've ever known. We're going to be with him for eternity. He's good. He's a good God. He's a good leader. But he's the boss. So here we have Jesus in John chapter 14, verse... Oh, wait. Before I go there, hang on just a second. Not just grace, but you've met people like this who are all truth. Hey, you just call a spade a spade. You know, I just tell the truth. I just tell it like it is. Just truth tellers, no grace. You hear them on the street corners with their megaphone, and they're using scriptures that I roll down my window, and I'm like, I like that scripture, but not right now. Why is that? Because they've taken the truth like a baseball bat and hitting people with it, and there's something that's not right about it. The truth only, if you just wanted the truth, minus the grace, Jesus could have come down in 5 minutes, tell you you're all going to hell, go back up to his eternal recliner in the sky, been done with it. He didn't just apply truth, but Jesus is grace and truth together. Aren't you thankful for that? So he brings the truth to you, and then he suffers and dies for you. Grace, anybody who's just spouting scriptures, anybody who's just so-called telling the truth and it troubles you, it's because it's not seasoned with salt. It doesn't make you want to take another bite of it. It's mean-spirited. When you have grace only, you're just weird. You have no foundation. But if you have truth only, you're just mean, just flat out mean. But Jesus, grace and truth together. And doesn't it work wonderfully? So he comes to you and he tells you the truth about your situation. And in that is his grace to help you and enable you to come to a better place. He doesn't just come to you and say, well, this is the truth. Whap, 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 whap. Some people say, well, God just hit me over the head the other day. He really doesn't function that way. I understand what you're saying. But you need to go to the scripture. He doesn't really deal with you that way. Everything he speaks, even if it's convicting, even if for a moment there's this twinge of guilt, there's also this hope. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So when he speaks to you, he doesn't speak death to you. Even when he speaks something rough, there's hope in it. And there's an exit ramp. There's a way out. There's freedom. The only reason he'll speak to you is so that you can obtain more freedom in him. So that when he comes and tells you the truth, you get excited about it. Man, there's freedom coming my way. Even though this truth kind of hurts, it stings, it's true, it's reality, and I need to deal with it. John 14, 6 says this, Jesus said to him, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Bold claim. Not just I'm going to speak to you the truth or the things that I say are true. Jesus is saying, I am the embodiment of truth. That's why the Apostle Peter was in a boat one day with Jesus and he said, will you please go away from me? Every day we have to wake up with the truth. Monday morning, there's the truth. Tuesday evening, Friday night, Saturday night, we're in the spot. Don't believe me, just truth right there. It's where he is. Three people got that over here, thank you. He said, will you please go away from me? I'm an unclean man. He was around the truth. He could tell. Jesus personified it. Everything he said, everything he did, his answers were always perfect because they were all perfectly true. They would try to trip him up. They would try to trick him into saying something theologically incorrect. Not only would he get the theology correct, but there was grace in it, and a brand new profound truth would be expounded right there in the moment. Simply taught and profound. The truth personified. So one day Jesus teaches that infamous sermon about you can't follow me unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh. And all the disciples are going, no, not that one. There was a great crowd there and many of them left. They said, not even for free food. This is getting weird. He turned to his disciples. Will you leave me too? I love Peter's response. Lord, where will we go to find words of truth? We're doomed to follow you now, Jesus, because no other teacher is telling the truth. They have all kind of false motivations. They have all kind of other ideas and other agendas, and they're looking for a following, but not you. You turn people away with the truth. Where are we going to go to find the truth? Rich young ruler comes up to Jesus, and some of the disciples are saying, this guy'd be good to get in our group. He's rich, he's young, he's got influence. What must I do to be saved? Jesus said, well, obey all the commands. He said, I've done all those things from my youth. Jesus said, oh, one more thing, like Columbo. One more thing. Sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Then follow me. That wasn't one of the Ten Commandments, by the way. That was just Jesus' special truth revealment, right? Revealment? Revealing for this guy. He knew the very thing that would trip this man up, so he just told him the truth right now. Let's not waste any days together. I know where you're going to struggle. And the man went away sad because he had great possessions. Jesus wasn't afraid. He just spoke the truth. This is the truth. You're not going to have me on the side. You're not going to have some idol and me. You're just going to have me. Sell everything you have and come follow me, and we'll see. He didn't even give him a position of authority. He gave him no promises. You just follow me. He told him the truth. He embodied the truth. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should ever repent. He has said it, will he not do it? Or has he spoken, And will he not make it good? You say, Rob, is there anything God can't do? Yeah, he can't lie. It's impossible. It's against his very nature. Our God only travels in the truth. Our God only travels in the truth. Why is the truth so important? Because that's the only place you're going to meet him. He's not going to live in our deceptions. It's one thing that people can lie to you. What I find most troubling is that I can lie to myself. And when you've lied to yourself and you're deceived, you are really deceived. You know, God won't travel in your deceptions. He won't live. You got to meet him in the truth. He is the truth, and he travels only in the truth. We are this way with our children. When they're in trouble and we know what they've done and they're sitting in front of us and we're getting them to confess their sins, what's the one thing we tell them? Before you say anything, do me this one favor. Do not lie to me. They sometimes don't even know that you know the truth, but you know it. And you watch them weasel their way, and they lie right to your face. Glad I never did that when I was a kid. Where did they get this? From their mother, evidently, and her side of the family. I'm in trouble now. I'm moving on. It's too late for me. Ronald Reagan's daughter from his first marriage, Patty Davis, was rebellious in college. I found a letter that he had written to his daughter while she was at school, and I thought it was fascinating how he talked about the truth. Listen to what he says. Ronald Reagan said in his letter, "We're concerned that you can establish a pattern of living wherein you can accept dishonesty as a way of life. Let's turn from you," listen to this father's heart, "and translate it into someone else. Would you be happy if you weren't sure that I was quite honest? Would you be comfortable if you had to wonder whether you could believe the things I said, or perhaps now you had to worry that maybe I was being dishonest in this job, that someday the paper would carry a story exposing me as a lawbreaker?" You know the answer, of course. This is the key, but you don't see. Compromising with the truth, no matter how trivial, does something to us. The next time it serves our purpose, we do it again and again, and one day we find ourselves in trouble and we're not quite sure why or how. You know, the trouble with lying is that you have to remember what you said. The truth doesn't need a memory. It just is. You watch these shows like Dateline with Lester Holt. I'm addicted to this show. I like watching people squirm in that little room where the officers ask them questions, and we, voyeuristic as we are, watch them lie. We already know the end of the show. They have DNA evidence against this person, and you just watch. And what's the person going through when they're lying? They're having to imagine how they would respond if they were telling the truth. And they're terrible actors. They're like, right now, if I were telling the truth and hadn't done this terrible crime, how would I probably be sad? And so they try to act that way. People don't get away with lies. You carry them around. You deal with them every day. Some people will say they have a double life. There is no double life. There is only one false life. You don't have one life that you live around some people and then another life that you live around other people. I've been guilty of this, and you say, well, I have a double life. No, you're just living one big lie. It's not two lives, it's one lie. I told you I'd be very encouraging today. Helpful. Here's what we need to do. We need to admit that facts are your friends. Just admit it, facts are your friends. This is often quoted in leadership books, and I really appreciate this. Deal with the brutal facts. Find out what's on the ground, what's actually happening right now. Tell me the truth. I want the truth. I'm going to embrace the truth because that's the only way I'm going to grow from here. When I came here after the first 100 days, I said we need to have an outside source that comes in and evaluates our staff. Let's find out where we are, how healthy, how unhealthy, what teams are doing well, what team. At the place where you work right now, there's a culture where you work. You are aware of that, right? Some of your teams are healthy, some not. So we just got the truth. We had this outside place, Best Christian Workplace, came in and told us, and they gave it a number. It was not easy to look at in some cases. We looked at it, and there was one staff member who said, "Is this really true? Come on, I mean, and isn't that in the heart of all of us? I mean, guys, is that really, you know?" There was another staff member who said, "Can I get all of the numbers for our team so that we can dig in and find, which of those two do you think the senior pastor appreciated more?" Right? What do we want? We want people who dig in, embrace the truth, and let's go from here. I can tell you the team did, they dug in, and they started working on these things. Fantastic group of people that work here. We just got the results for December. We actually went from where we were to qualifying as a certified best Christian workplace because of the hard work and diligence, dedication and commitment of the staff at this place. Would you help me thank them? Amazing. Best Christian workplace. And how did it happen? It started with the truth. Here's what you need to do. Wade into the truth, trusting that God is with you in it. Wade into it means you need waders sometimes because there's a lot of water or a lot of other stuff. There's a season in my life where I had created a lot of that other stuff. And I didn't really want to face the truth, but I've got to wade in there and trust. God is in the truth, and he will lead me from there, but he will not lead me from anywhere else. So a friend of mine got a hold of this and said that their cholesterol was, the number was out there somewhere, and it was bothering them. But they're too afraid to go to the doctor and find out the truth. So they realized that God is in the truth and God will help me in the truth. And by faith, they picked up the phone, most spiritual thing they could do, and they called and made an appointment, did another spiritual thing, got in the car, showed up at the appointment. Did they go alone? No. The Father was with them. They went into the doctor. The doctor told them the number. It wasn't as bad as they thought. It wasn't as good as they wanted it to be. But now they're making plans and taking steps, and the Lord is with them. How does this work? Romans 8, 31 says this, "What then shall we say to all of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" There is a number out there, whether you admit it or not, wherever it is, that you might be fearing. There is a truth that's out there, whether you look at it or not, and God is in that truth. And he'll help you when you get there. What do we need to do? Embrace the truth and let the truth lead us. Embrace the truth where we're actually looking for it. Tell me the truth. Be honest with me. Where you're actually looking for it. A few weeks ago, I had a friend from my high school days show up here in Cincinnati. Got in touch and, "Hey, what time are the services?" And came to a service, and we hadn't seen each other since high school. You know, that's been like 5 years. And probably shouldn't lie during a message on the truth. All right, a little more than 5 years, fine. So we talked after the service, and the first thing we talked about was how awesome we used to be at basketball together. And we told glory day stories, and the games were even better now than they were then. You know what I'm talking about? It's great. I had forgotten how awesome we were, and so we had that conversation. And I wanted to hear his story. He said, "Rob, I've been living a double life. All these years, with my family, with my three kids and my wife, I would live one way, but I'm a businessman, and when I would travel, I would live a different life." He said, "Finally, it all came tumbling down, and I realized I wasn't serving God. I just had to give him my life, and when I came to him, I realized I had to tell everybody." I was like, "Oh." He said, "I lost my marriage, but I'm still in relationship with my kids. I've had to move, but because they moved, and now I'm close to them." And he said, "It's been incredibly hard. It's been incredibly difficult, but I'm the happiest I've ever been. I said, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's better to live in the truth and go through the pain of the change and have God rebuild things on a solid foundation than to live for 5 minutes in a big fat lie. Are you having to carry that around with you every single day? It's the way God made the world. This is true for people who don't even care about God. This is true in every business situation. Ask Enron if the truth matters. Ask Bernie Madoff if the truth matters. Ask Lance Armstrong if the truth matters. It's in everything. What he wants us to do is have the courage and the faith in him and his amazing grace that I could step into any truth and say, Father, shine your light on me. See, the trouble is that he shed his truth into the world and that we ran for darkness because our deeds were evil and we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Some people will say that Christianity is easy. It's a crutch. It's for the weak. I challenge you to listen to this message. God's saying, I am the truth, and I only function in the truth, and I'll bring you into the truth, and I'll take you through all the way, but I will not live in a lie. Lord, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. This is the true heart of every believer. Now I've got to wrap this up. What's the area in your life and my life where we're hiding? Where we're just not telling the truth? You don't have a secret life on the internet. God sees it. What do you need to do in your marriage where you just come together and say, we gotta tell the truth about this? What about your finances? You know, there is a number right now on your finances. There's a number called income, bing, and a number called outgo. And it exists whether you face it or not. And I've had to do this many times. And it's not easy until you know God is in that truth. He will meet you there and he will help you. He doesn't just want you to be free from addiction, free from sin. He wants us financially free too so that we can give generously the way that he wants us to. He wants us not to dread our checkbook, to be in great debt. He wants freedom in every single area of our life. He'll reconcile and balance everything, including our finances. He wants to do it all. But we first have to do that hard work of trudging across the living room, sitting down and looking at it. And you have to do it with faith, and you have to do it with prayer, and you'll probably have to do it with the help of other believers. Now, let me say one more thing that's going to be hard to hear. In this society that we live in, it is common for people to live together before they're married. I can assure you that that kicking the tires is not a scripture. And I know that it's common, and there's no judgment here. I haven't lived right or perfectly. I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about judging you. I'm just saying that God wants you to be free. He cares about your sex life. He cares. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. He wants you to be free in your relationship. And the way that you gain freedom is that you come to him and present it to him and you just say, Lord, I'm coming to the light on this. I know I'm not living right and I want your help. Now you listen, if it's a financial issue for you and you say, we really do want to be married, my email is robking@vineyardcincinnati.com. And if you're wanting to get married, I'm telling you, you get the marriage license, you email me, we'll set up a time and you can come to my office. Now you can't bring 50 people because they won't fit. But I'm being dead honest with you right now. You set up the appointment and we'll have a nice, quick, it'll be the fastest ceremony you've ever seen, but it'll be before God and it'll make it right. And then you can save up money and go do something different later. But you can make that right now. What are you talking about, Rob? I'm just talking about coming into the truth. You know what you're going to find in that relationship? Where once it was a drag and where once there was all this arguing and fighting, when you do it God's way, he reconciles it and it becomes a blessing and you can go from there. That's all he wants. He's not going to tell you the truth to condemn you or beat you up. He's going to tell you the truth to set you free. You will know the truth. And the truth will make you mad. But then eventually, it will set you free. Stand up. We'll pray. We love you and we're praying for you. There's prayer and communion down front and up in the balconies as well. Let's pray together. God, of all your attributes, we're most amazed by the fact that you embody truth. You are the truth. And you've changed us and you're making us people who love the truth and want to live in the truth. Thank you for your truth, Lord. Thank you for your truth. Lord, we want to be people who embrace your truth, your reality. We thank you that as we do, your grace is going to help us to change and grow. Lord, we've dealt with many things today, but we go with your Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. Walk with your people. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.